I'd like you to get your Bibles this morning. If you will open to the book of John chapter 15. John chapter 15, if you need a Bible, there's one on the side table. I encourage you to get one to read with us and study with us this morning. John 15, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Jesus here speaking says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye may bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. May we again pray. Our Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace this morning, we thank you so much for your word and, Lord, for what it teaches us about how to be a true disciple, how to be one that draws from you, Lord, that draws that strength, that draws from you the fervor that we need to be the light, to be the salt that you would have us to be in this lost and dying world. Lord, I pray that our hearts are open this morning to receive your word. And Lord, I pray that if there's one in our midst who is never trusting your Son, Jesus, as Savior, Lord, I pray that today is the day of salvation. Maybe there's other decisions that need to be made here this morning, and as you lead and direct the hearts, may we be obedient to follow the leadership of your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you guide and direct my words this morning. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. You know, as Jesus made these statements to his disciples, to his church, he was facing a very terrible scene in all of human history. Here we have the Son of God was about to be murdered, if you will, put on the cross at the hands of man. All that he had to face was weighing very heavy on his heart, on his mind. In particular, the reaction of everyone to him and their own faith. I mean, what was going to happen when he was gone? How were they going to continue to follow him, even though he had died and we know subsequently arose from the grave? He had come to save them all, but few were responding in a genuine way, and he was facing even the collapse of his own inner circle. And because he was telling them that it's needful that I go to Jerusalem. And they knew that going to Jerusalem was ultimately going to be the outcome was going to be his death. And most tragically, they were falling away. And, you know, one disciple was in the very process of betraying him, which we know was Judas. The leader of the disciples was to deny him three times, even by cursing. And then we know that was Peter. And then after he was taken, his own disciples, the rest of them, they were to flee and they were to desert him. And then there was the world of men who were rejecting him, the religionists who strongly professed to know and live for God, yet they did not. And then there was the non-religious who had no attachment to God and professed none, yet Jesus was still willing to come and die for all of them, and even for me, a sinner in need of a Savior. He had come to save them all, and not one was standing with him in the most needful hour. The thought of it all raced to his mind as he thought. He recalled the vine of God as so often described in the Old Testament. And one of the things that we find from the Old Testament is that, first of all, as we opened our text this morning, we know that it is God who puts the vine in place, and we know that the vine is Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus was placed here, and he was there, that God was in the midst of Israel, even in the Old Testament. So they would have had very much clarity because the vine meant something to them in the Old Testament. But yet, they rejected the vine. They wanted to be the vine themselves. In fact, if you go back to Hosea, turn to Hosea for just a moment. In Hosea chapter 10, Hosea chapter 10 says this in the first couple of verses. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He hath increased the altars according to the goodness of his land. They have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king because we fear not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of their field, of the field. And that describes what Israel had moved to be. Here they were to be the steadfast church of the wilderness. They were to be the ones that were to show forth the life of God. And yet they had rejected the true vine. They had rejected the true God, if you will. And they were trying to nurture themselves, bring sense of life of themselves, and they were dying, and they lost their position as God's mouthpiece. In a very graphic lesson, we're going to see this morning from our text that the disciples needed to learn the lesson of the vine and the branches, and specifically with the relationship of Jesus and to the people of this world. Again, in our text in verse 1 of John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. We find that Jesus is the only true vine. He is the genuine vine. He is not a counterfeit. In fact, He opposes counterfeits. He stated Himself in John 1 and 9. He says that, and is stated about Him as John was speaking about Jesus, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now we need to understand that God Himself is the vine dresser, or if you will, the cultivator. He is the gardener. That's why He's called the husbandman. He is the one who carefully planted the vine. And here in this reference, we're talking about Jesus Christ. He is the one that planted Jesus here for us so that we can do what? Be connected to Him and draw strength from Him on a day-by-day basis. We are the branches. We're not the vine. We are the branches. We are the vineyard, if you will. And either we're going to be one or two types of people. We're either going to be unfruitful, or we're going to be fruitful branches of the true vine. We're either going to be attached to the true vine, or we're going to be unattached of the true vine. Those are really the only two types of people there are. You're either attached to the Lord, or you're unattached. You're either fruitful, or you're unfruitful. Now, when we talk about being fruitful or unfruitful, that can only apply to children of God. If you're not a child of God, you cannot be fruitful for the Lord. If you're not attached, then I will have to say, is that why are you not attached? Why have you not seen that Jesus is the only way? Why have you not realized that you're a sinner in need of a Savior? Why have you not turned to Jesus, the Savior of the world? I have to ask that. I have no answer for that. I have to ask you, why not? Is it because that you find it yourself that you are really a good person? And I'll double quote that word, good person. But the Lord tells us in His Word, there are none righteous. There are none good. No, not one. But we find that Jesus, again, as I stated earlier, He came to die for all of man's sins. And He came to die for all of man that live in this world. From the day of Adam, when Adam took of that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that God told him that in the day that you eat thereof, you will die. You shall die. No ifs, ands, or buts. You are going to die if you eat of it. And he miscalculated and ate of it. And he died immediately, spiritually. And then he died shortly, years after. But what is time, even 100 years, what is time when you consider eternity? He died So we find here is that we are the branches. We are the vineyard, if you will. Verse 2 of our text again says, every branch in me. And notice the words. As you hear me say countless times, words mean everything. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So we find here that the unfruitful branches, they were attached to Christ. They did have a relationship. There was a time that they listened to the gospel. They listened to what Christ had to say. They opened their ears. They made a profession of faith. They probably were baptized. They had united with the local assembly. They seemed capable of bearing fruit. They appeared to be fruitful branches, but they were unfruitful. Unfruitful. They're in the vine, and that's what it says, every branch in me, but they simply bear no fruit. So why not? The unfruitful branches do not relate enough to Christ. They don't draw enough sustenance. They don't draw enough from Him to draw life or to bear fruit and to continue in the vine. They're not genuine enough. Now, let me be very clear. If you're in Christ, you're in Christ. Amen? But you can be an unfruitful person in Christ. Salvation is once and once for all. If you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, I don't care who you are. If you've trusted in Christ as Savior and you die, you're going to go to heaven. Amen? That is something that we must never be moved off of. We must never let anyone tell us anything different. And you say, well, Pastor, how can you be so adamant because of all the things that we do in our lives as saved people? How can you say that we can never lose salvation? For this reason, Jesus said, first of all, no one can pluck you out of my hand. He says, you're in my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. If God is for you, who can be against you? If God does not condemn you, then why are you condemning yourself? Or why are you letting Satan condemn you? That doesn't mean that we're not going to have consequences for our sin. Don't get me wrong. But when we talk about salvation, we also need to understand one other thing. Jesus said, I came once, I died for all, that all might be saved. If we could lose salvation, eternal security, Jesus would have to come and die again. The Lord says He came, He died once, and once for all. For all of mankind. So salvation, by the way, salvation is not based on you. Because you're unrighteous. Salvation could never be acquired by you because you're unrighteous. And what I mean by that, obtained. That you do something, you work for it, you get it. Because if you could, you'd lose it. If you could get it, it would become decrepit anyway. It would fall down, it would break down, and you'd be trying to put new spokes on those wheels to get it going again. If you could acquire it, in the sense of working for it to get it. Jesus said, He came, He died once, and if you're saved, you're eternally saved because He is the Son of God. And by the way, He said it. And I don't have to say any more when it comes to eternal security in Jesus Christ. And for that, you can all say Amen. Now, but these unfruitful branches, they were more than just a profession. I mean, they had possession, but they were unfruitful. And so you say, how could they become unfruitful? Part of it is they've become apostate. They've become, in a sense, they've walked away. They became deserters. The Scriptures tell us this, and like in, as an example, in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But again, it doesn't mean they weren't saved. They just decided they wanted to be a part of the church, the local church. We also find is that others, when we talk about even with Demas, if you read about Demas, there's two places that you read about Demas. The first thing you read about Demas, Paul says, he is a fellow laborer in the Lord. But then you read the second account about Demas, that he walked away for the love of this world. You see, when we walk away from the Lord, we are going to be unfruitful. And it says that for every, in our text here, verse 2, every branch that is unfruitful, He taketh away. He taketh away. So what does it mean to be taken away? You're in the branch. And again, I've already told you and explained to you there's no losing salvation. What does it mean, though, to be taken away? Well, we allow our sin. We allow our sins. We allow our whole serving of God to be put by the wayside. In fact, the Scripture teaches. You know, Scripture teaches us that about the parable of the sower. There was a sower that went out and spread seed. And the sower went out and spread seed. He spread it in different types of fertile or different types of ground. Some of it fell on thorny rocks, and the birds came and ate it up, and it didn't sink into anything. But then it talked about a couple other occasions where it fell into places that, and it took root, but because the root didn't go down far, it says the things of this world choked it out. And I look at that as that is exactly how some Christians today, they've allowed the world to choke them out to where they're not standing for the Lord anymore. But then there were those places that the seed fell into fertile ground, and it says it took root, and it took root very deeply. And as a result, it was able to give forth much fruit. We are all like those different grounds. We are all like those, and if we're not careful, we allow ourselves to be like the seed that has fallen into the thorny areas. In fact, Hebrews 6 and 8 says, But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. The unfruitful branches where they've allowed sin to overtake them, they are going to be chastened, they are going to be disciplined, and they're going to be taken away and removed from death, or removed, and some of it, sometimes, it may be through death. One of the things that we find is that some of the ways He takes these branches away. If you're in a church, you're a member of a church, and you allow yourself to get into immorality, and the life that you are walking is immoral, you decide that I like the immoral way, I reject the moral way, and the church has to take discipline upon you. In other words, they exclude you because they've come to you biblically, they've spoken to you, they've prayed with you, you said, I want to live this lifestyle that I want to live. And the church has to discipline. The church isn't doing something to harm you. The church is saying, God does not agree with what you're doing. And neither do we. Therefore, until you find God's way, and you have a desire to return to God's way, we must set you aside, set you outside the church, so that God can deal with you, and He's probably going to let Satan have a field day with you outside the church. Because you see, as a church member, as a faithful church member, we have protections within our congregation. We have protections of God because of the fact that we're doing things the right way. You may not realize this, but there is protection from being a church member and a faithful church member. If you decide to live for Christ and you try to live for Christ outside of the setting of being a church member, you are not living in obedience. You're living in disobedience. And I will tell you that God can never bless disobedience. You may look and say, well, my life is great. My job is great. I'm not a church member. I will tell you, it's not of God. You may be getting blessings from being in the workplace, but if you're getting blessings in the workplace, it is because that you've made your own way. You made your way. Or Satan opened the door for you to make your way. Because he has got a mindset and given you a mindset that you can live outside of God's way and still make it. I will tell you, when you get before the Lord, you will find what the Lord has to say about not serving Him in the manner of which He would have you serve. discipline of the church. Here's another area that he may cut you off. By suffering, allowing you to fall into temptation. You know, we pray the model prayer that was given by the Lord. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive those that trespass against thee. But one of the things we also say in that prayer is that, and lead us not into temptation. And lead us not into temptation. If you are walking outside the will of God, one of the ways that you can be taken away is God allows you to be led into temptation. God allows Satan to tempt you. Because God does not tempt you. Satan does. God can allow you to be taken in temptation. God can just say, my hand, my hedge is off of you. And God can allow you to be taken and swept away in temptation. You want to follow your own path? Go for it. That's why I went back and read it, Hosea. They didn't want King God. They wanted King Man. They decided they wanted to be their own vine. They wanted to build their own altars. They wanted to produce fruit of themselves. He says, go for it. See how far you get. You're being taken away, led off into temptation. Then, another way you can be taken away is this, by persecution, tribulation, the deceitfulness of riches, and by the cares of this world that we get outside. We have no defenses. We are going our own path. He says, you're going to have the weight of the world on top of you. The weight of the world is going to be on top of you. And to top it off, if it gets bad enough that you become an obstruction to God in His way, then the ultimate taking away is death. And yes, yes, there are people that have died earlier than they should have, because, and I'm talking about children of God, because they became more of an obstruction to God outside in their own ways and doing what they were doing. They became an obstruction, and God says, I can't have this. You're really a liability to me. And He's called people home. You say, well, that seems pretty harsh. I'm only reading what He said. And by the way, this was Jesus speaking here. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Now, let me tell you one thing here. I don't want you to go out of here quivering and say, well, God's going to, I better watch what I'm doing, and I'm going to have to walk around in very, very much of a shell and a box. I don't want you to go out of here. I want you to go out of here with this idea and understanding. As a child of God, God gave me great liberty, but He says, don't use your liberty for an occasion to sin. You see, if we want to protect ourselves from being taken away as children of God, then we want to be like the next one in that verse 2. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it. And what does that mean? He prunes it. He prunes it so that we can do what? That we can bring forth more fruit. So we can bring forth more fruit so that we can be productive people. You remember when there was an occasion where Jesus went and He's walking along this journey, and they came to a place where He saw up ahead a fig tree. And this fig tree had all these leaves on it. All these leaves on it. And whenever you saw the leaves on the trees, the fig trees, it was usually an indication that it was giving off fruit. But He got there and he was hungered. And He looked up at the tree and there was no fruit on that tree. All it was leaves. The Scripture says that He cursed the tree. They came back the next day. So they left the town that they went to, came back the next day. And they walked by that same tree. And they saw this tree. And the disciples marveled at it. Because it was all withered up. It was all just dying. It was because all it did was give forth the appearance of fruit. But it had no fruit. But you see, for everyone that is producing fruit, then what ends up happening is that it says that we are pruned. That we're pruned such that we can give forth more fruit. In fact, continue reading our text. Now you're clean, verse 3. Through the word which I have spoken to you, abide in me. Choose to abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So if we are going to produce fruit, we have to stay attached to the Lord in our thoughts, our attitudes, our commitment, our passion, our behavior, our relationship, our service, and our willingness to serve Him. We have to stay attached to Him. And what I mean by being attached, there's nothing that can detach us. I'm saying is that I recognize where my source of strength comes from. I recognize that where my strength comes from, I am nothing without Him. I choose to abide in Him. I choose to walk with Him on a day-by-day basis. And when He prunes me, and I will tell you that pruning requires cutting at times. When He prunes me, I realize that the pruning is for my good so I can give forth more fruit. I recognize that. And you see, when we do this, and we start to understand, we start to see that we can bear more fruit for Him. You have no fruit apart from Him. But we have fruit of the Spirit as an example because of Him. Read there in Galatians, you'll find the fruit of the Spirit. And there's different stages of fruit bearing. All believers are not 100% fruit bearers. Some bear 60% while others only bear 30%. There's degrees of fruit bearing. And in fact, if you were to go out here and look at any tree that is a fruit tree, you will find that not every branch has the same number of fruit on it. Not every branch. That's why oftentimes, if you will, if you learn anything about orchards and how they produce, for the first 3 or so years, oftentimes that when a tree starts producing fruit, they go and pull all the fruit off of it in its very early stages. The reason being is that they want the tree to become a strong fruit bearer. And one of the ways they do it is they pull all of the fruit off of it very early on for about 3 years. So that it continues to grow. You see, fruit takes energy. And if you're pushing all your energy out to the fruit, then what ends up happening is the tree doesn't grow as strong. But in an orchard, if you go and you take that tree and you pull all of that fruit off and let it continue to absorb all of the strength that's coming up through the vine, through that trunk, if you will, and pushing it out to the branches, that when they then allow it to produce the fruit, that what happens is you get more fruit and you get better fruit. That's often what we're seeing as a child of God. We are being pruned so that we can give forth greater fruit. The fruit is not for our benefit. The fruit is for the Lord's benefit. It's not to get a pat on our back for what we're doing, but it's to give Him all of the praise and the honor and the glory because it's His fruit. He works through us. So we're at different stages. We're at different stages in our fruit bearing. In fact, it says in Matthew 13 and 8, but other fell into good ground, talking about the seed, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. But it says that we're pruned, we're purged, we're cleansed, so that we may be good fruit bearers. You know, one of the things that we also find in Scripture that Jesus had a real concern for us as His children. He wanted us to grow. He wanted us to bear fruit for Him and for the Lord. And one of the ways that He prayed for us over in John chapter 17 and verse 17, He says here, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. If we're going to become strong fruit bearers, one of the things that you and I need to do is stay firm in His word. We need to be firm in His word. We need to be firm in His firm looking at His word for this reason. It helps to cleanse us. It's a great mirror. If you haven't read God's Word in a while, pick it up. Study it. It's a great mirror because what it does is it shows me who I truly am in Him. If I want to be a greater fruit bearer, I need to study His Word. Not just to read it. Reading it's easy. Meditating upon it. Applying it. That's the harder part. And here's one of the things that maybe you haven't become very accustomed with. Experiment with it. You say, why do I need to experiment with God's Word? Prove it in your own life that it works. Experiment with it. If God says, I will help you in this area, trust it. Study His Word. Look for examples. Look for similarities. Look for by other people in Scripture. A lot of times I don't give you a lot of illustrations outside of the Bible because I believe you have enough illustrations in the Bible if we will just find them. We'll search it. We will find every application about our own lives if we will just go to it. But then we need to experiment with it. Apply it in our lives. And He says, for all who follow Me, abide in Me, I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, and be reminded that you cannot bear fruit of yourself. We must abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me. Verse 5 of our text goes on to say, verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me you can do nothing. Verse 5, what we read, verse 6, if a man abide not in Me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So one of the things that we find here is the unattached branch. The unattached branch is out and off by itself, not abiding in the Lord. And I'll tell you, if you're not a child of God, you're not attached. You're not attached to the Lord. Now, let me make very clear what I mean by you're not attached. It is not, attachment does not come through baptism. And the reason I say this, that we need to be very clear on, is that in our society, there are many churches that make this statement. And I don't care what denomination it is. I don't care what they put out on the signpost. I don't care who they are. If you can be saved other than through Jesus Christ, you're not saved. And one of the places that they go down, this is the rabbit hole they run down. Baptism saves you. Baptism saves you. First of all, that flies in the face of Jesus. Now, sometimes what they say is this. Well, you need to be saved by faith, but also be baptized. This is another damnable teaching. Because you see, it's not just being saved by faith. You also have to be baptized. You know where they get this idea from? Is that the Judaizers in the Old Testament said that you needed to have faith in Jesus, but you also needed to be circumcised. And so it's just been extrapolated and brought forward that in the New Testament, for the church, is that you need to have faith in the Lord, but also be baptized. And you know where they really break this down and they really crumble this? Is when you read there in Acts chapter 2 where Peter was preaching there on the day of Pentecost. And as he was preaching, he says this. They asked him, Men and brethren, what shall I do? What shall we do? He said, first of all, repent. And if you truly look at the Scriptures, there's a pause there. Repent. Trust in Jesus. Trust in Him through faith. Repent of your sin. And the Scripture says that there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And then it goes on to say, and be baptized. But what they do is they take that pause out, that comma. They take the pause out and they put it together, repent and be baptized. And that will bring you salvation. If you're basing salvation on baptism, I'm sad to say that you are still lost in need of a Savior. You are unattached. You are a religionist person. You're going through all the motions. This is damnable heresy. And yet people have glommed onto it. They're holding onto it. We find that there's those, and I'm talking about the unattached now. We also find that there are those in churches. So I'm going to talk about churches. The world has its own idea about living and being good and things of this nature. In fact, the world will tell you what a Christian is supposed to be and not be. That's what the world will do. I thought you were a Christian. Shouldn't you act a certain way? You see, they have a little bit of knowledge and they become dangerous. I'm talking about inside churches. Well, you've got to be a member of this church. And if you're not a member of this church, or whatever this church is, I find no place in Scripture where membership in a church attaches you to Jesus Christ. What I find in Scripture is what the church was meant to be, was to be the one to spread the gospel. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. The church was given the authority to deal with the Great Commission, as found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore, as you go, make disciples. In other words, teach them that they need to become disciples of Jesus Christ. Trust in Him to become the Savior, their own personal Savior. Trust in Jesus. Go ye therefore, as ye go, win the lost to Jesus. Now once they've been won to Jesus, now it says to the church, you are the only one that has authority. The church has authority to baptize. They're already attached in trusting in Jesus. Now we baptize them. Now they unite with us. Why do they unite with us? First of all, the church is the place, the institution where God receives honor and glory. Read that in Ephesians chapter 3. The church is where He receives honor and glory. In the church, we are to teach. Teach our members to do what? To observe and do all things whatsoever I've commanded you in my word. That's the importance of the church. But it will never bring about attachment to the vine. You will never be attached to the vine of Jesus, meaning He being the true vine. You will never become attached to Him by becoming a member. Just as you will never become attached to Him by being baptized. You will never become attached to Him by being a good worker. And so for anyone that believes that they can live in religion and the false teachings and then become attached, you are going to be sadly disappointed when you come before God. And by the way, you are going to come before Christ. Every one of us are going to come before Christ. And you may come before Him and say, but Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in Thy name? Didn't we do all these wonderful things in Thy name? And wasn't I a great member down at ABC Church? And didn't I give these great sums of money for the causes that were down there? Doesn't that account for something? And He says in His Word that what will be said, I never knew you. It wasn't that He didn't know you because you were a member of the wrong church. I never knew you because you were never attached to me. You never drew any sustenance from me. You were never grafted in. You were never one of my branches. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And that's why He says that for each of us that are in the vine, that we're attached to the vine, He abides in us. We're to bring forth much fruit. Understanding without Christ, we can do nothing. And if a man abide not in me, if we're not apart, if we're not attached, we're an unattached individual. We've never trusted in Christ as Savior. We are going to be cast out. He said, where are we going to be cast out to? That's a good question. Again, not because I say it, but because the Lord tells us that He says you're going to be cast into, eventually, into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever and ever. No ending. Because you see, once this world is burned up, and by the way, this earth, this the heaven around it, meaning where the birds fly and things of this nature, when this is all burned up, do you realize that time is done? We're a people of time. See, for God, time is nothing. That's why He says, 1,000 days is like 1 day. And 1 day is like 1,000 days. In other words, God is not bound by time. Man is. We live every day by time. I get up in the morning at a certain time. I do certain things at certain times. I work a certain number of hours during a day. I come home in the evening, I rest for a couple hours, and then I do what? Go to bed. The next morning, what do I do when that alarm goes off? I get up again, but it goes off at a certain time. Man is bound to time. But there is going to be a time when time stops. And that's when we see eternity forevermore. We look at those that are going to be cast into the fire. They're going to be burned forever and ever and ever, but yet still be eternally alive spiritually in that fire. Now, that makes it... You know, one of the things that I was going to share with you, many occasions my family and sometimes just my wife and I have gone camping. And we love to camp. But one of the things is that if we don't bring enough wood with us, we run out, we got to go gather up wood. Of course, we're often competing with other campers because they want wood as well. So we go gather up the wood, and what are we going to look for? We're going to look for branches that have been laying out there for some period of time that are dried out because we know that they're more combustible. They're going to light up quickly. They're going to give warmth. They're going to give light. They're going to give the ambiance that we want. You ever tried to light green wood? You ever tried to light get green wood to light up for you? It's very difficult. In fact, ask my wife. She'll give you the horror stories of me trying to get green wood or wet wood to get lighted. Because, you know, I'm the one out there that's on the very edge. I got white lightning over here in a bottle that's made for my lantern. And when I said white lightning, it's just about, it's really strong, very refined. It's made for lanterns. I've used that stuff to pour on wood, and I will tell you, if you get a humid day, you better lift your legs up, because if that fumes get to rolling out, and I light it, it's moving across the ground. Done that a couple of times. My kids were, Dad, what are you trying to do, burn us up? Because why? Green wood does not light and stay and get going very fast. You want dead wood. Well, you see, that dead wood is exactly what we're looking at here. Unattached, having no attachment, no life in it. And if you're not a child of God, you have no life in you. You are spiritually dead. That's why the Scripture says that when we trust in Jesus as our Savior, and you hath He quickened, you hath He made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sin. And notice in verses 7 and 8 again of our text, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father. Now think about the Father. He's the one that planted the vine. He's the husbandman of this vineyard. It says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Well, as we've spoken about through this message this morning, is that as a result of trusting in Jesus as our Savior, we became attached. We started drawing sustenance, being nurtured by the Lord. We started being strengthened. We started not only getting leaves on us, but then we started in time as He pruned us, we started to produce fruit. And as we've done this, notice what we do, is that as we continue to grow in the Lord, we're abiding in Him, we're abiding in His Word. He says, now we glorify our Father. Which the Lord says in Romans chapter 8, We can cry, Abba, Father, because why? We're a child of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If you have not been producing fruit, I have to ask you, why aren't you as a child of God? What's holding you back? Are you not trusting in His Word? Are you not drawing strength from His Word? Are you not drawing strength from Him? Are you just going out here and living one day at a time? Maybe you're out there singing, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. And that's all you're doing. Praise God, praise Jesus. Everything that comes to your life, praise Jesus, bless God. And you're doing what? Nothing. And then you wonder, why is my life falling apart? Why is my life doesn't seem to be getting anywhere? I try to go forward. Here's our argument. I've been trying to serve God. Have you been witnessing? No. I've been trying to serve God. Have you gone to church services? No. I've been trying to serve God. Have you looked for opportunities to help your neighbor? No. I've been trying to serve God. Have you been praising His name? No. Well, what have you been doing? You're not abiding in Him. And yet you claim to be a child of His. And I'm speaking specifically to children of God right now. What are you doing with your life? One day at a time, sweet Jesus. You see, that's what we're doing. We're just singing. But yet we're doing nothing. If we want to honor our Heavenly Father that placed Jesus, the true vine, here on this earth, that lives forever because He's risen from that grave, and we as children of God, we've placed our faith and trust in Him. We've been attached to the vine. If we are not growing in Him, if we're not being pruned, if we are not giving forth fruit that glorifies Him, I will tell you, you can take the negative here in verse 8, you are not a true disciple. I didn't say you weren't saved. I'm just saying you're not a true disciple of Jesus Christ because we're not abiding. My friends, I have to ask you this morning, are you a true disciple? Are you giving forth fruit? Are you showing, does the world see that Jesus really lives within you? Are you serving Him with your life? The Lord says that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Let it work out of us. What does that mean? I go out here and I do things? No, it means I let Jesus work through me so that I may do what? Produce fruit for Him. Produce fruit to glorify my Father who placed Him here that I can be attached to. Now maybe your issue is you've never been attached. You've been living in religion. You bought somebody's story, hook, line, and sinker. You can do all these other things to become saved. And I will tell you, if you were hooked by that, which might have sounded appealing, do this work, whatever this work is, and be saved. You bought into a bad way. Trust in Jesus. He alone can save you. He alone can save you. This church can't save you. I can't save you. And if I saved you, you're just as dead as you were the day that you got saved by me. But if you trust in Jesus, you will be saved forevermore. Trust in Him. Repent of your sin. Trust in Him, and you can be saved. You can be attached. And then you can live as an attached, fruitful branch. But you must abide in Him. May we stand as our musicians come for a hymn of invitation. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning about a need that you have. Why not be obedient unto Him? Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this service and this study this morning, Lord, I pray that You have pressed upon our hearts as children of God the need to not only abide in You daily, but not to live in dependency upon ourselves. Realizing, Lord, that Your desire for us is that we bear much fruit for Your Father who sent You here to die for us. But Lord, maybe there's someone here that's never trusted in Your Son as Savior. We pray, Lord, that today will be the day of salvation. Whatever the need is, May we attend to it at this time. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.